Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Euskaltel's third quarter 2020 results presentation. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation materials that can be found at Euskaltel's website, which will be followed by a question and answer session. You can ask a question by phone by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad at any time during the call. I am now pleased to introduce Mr. José Miguel García, CEO of Euskaltel. Please, sir, go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, good morning to everybody. Welcome to Euskaltel third quarter 2020 results conference call. As Lidia mentioned, my name is José Miguel García, and I'm the CEO of Euskaltel. First of all, I trust and hope you and your families are keeping in good health, and hope that continue for the rest of the year. Joining me is Ángel Arangüeta, our CFO, and Alfonso Enríquez, our Head of Strategy and Investor Relations. We are very happy and excited to present the third quarter 2020 results, a quarter in which hopefully you'll see throughout the presentation, Virgin Telco has begun to significantly contribute to the company's growth strategy. Virgin Telco has driven the company to deliver a quarter of record customer growth. Virgin Telco customer net adds were 29,000 in the quarter, 21,000 fixed customer alone. Total Euskaltel fixed customers net adds were 14,000 in the quarter, another record after the 11,000 in the previous quarter. Virgin Telco is growing ahead of expectations week after week. Our footprint expansion continues to be key for customer growth. Addressable footprint has reached 20 million households in the quarter. Also financial results were also very solid in the quarter. Revenue growth reached 2% year-on-year, driven by strong Virgin Telco customer growth, as already mentioned, and continued positive growth in the traditional business. EBITDA had a two-year year-on-year decrease in the quarter due to the Virgin Telco launch cost. If we exclude the Virgin Telco launch cost, the company delivered 1% year-on-year EBITDA growth. Our net debt was reduced by 4% year-on-year. With the 21,000 fixed customer net adds in the quarter, reaching 27,000 Virgin Telco fixed customers to date, we are close to the 2020 business plan target of 35,000 customers. Although focused on fixed, Virgin Telco is also growing strong in mobile only, with 9,000 customers net adds in the quarter. Virgin Telco's strong points, as we've already mentioned previously, highly flexible, innovative offerings. That's one of our key secrets. A non-promotion competitive pricing, which avoids the customer confusion of highly promotional offers. A highly recognized brand that has achieved significant maturity in its first weeks in the market. Fully digital customer processes that include three-minute onboarding and innovative customer care channels such as WhatsApp. Virgin Telco's success has not only been in customer quantity, but also in customer quality. Services ahead of expectations include our fully television take-up. Alpha is way higher than we expected, and the 600 Mbps broadband take-up is also a lot higher than we expected in initial plans. A sales agreement with Netflix, which was signed just last week, is already accelerating sales. A continued additional of footprint, like the 1.5 million households signed with Adamo in September, provides opportunities for further Virgin Telco growth. A continuous digitalization and improvement of customer processes will continue to improve service take-up. On October the 20th, as I've already mentioned, the company announced a go-to-market agreement with Netflix. As a result, Virgin Telco has launched Netflix Fan, an offer which combines a leading six months of free Netflix promotion with 10 GB of additional mobile data per month. The combination of our existing high-quality television offering and top content providers sets Virgin Telco as a leading television offer in the market. Netflix Fan will further drive television penetration in Virgin Telco in their customer, once again, adding value to our offers. We will launch Netflix Fan in our traditional brands in the coming weeks. Euskaltel is always open and constantly evaluating value-creative opportunities in all areas. Part of this effort are the network agreements that have been recently signed. On October the 15th, the company announced an agreement with Orange that allows Euskaltel to offer 5G services to its customers starting from January 2020. This date could be brought forward in the case of earlier mass 5G launches. In July, the company announced an agreement to access 1.8 million out of the 3 million additional FTTH households Orange plans to deploy in Spain in the next 3 years. And on September the 8th, the company announced an agreement to use the entire 1.5 million households FTTH footprint of Adamo in Spain. Additionally, earlier in the year, in July, Euskaltel signed an agreement with Telefónica allowing it to access areas exempt from the fiber regulation. These agreements provide potential upsides to our business plan presented in March. Let me now share with you some of the operational KPIs of the quarter. As I've already mentioned, the company's addressable footprint has increased by 1.5 million households in the quarter, which now exceeds 20 million households. The increase in addressable footprint is a key driver of profitable growth, as it further increases the company's growth opportunities by adding new footprint and improving customer economics. Virgin Telco success has driven another quarter of record customer growth for Euskaltel. Total customer net adds have grown to a record 20,000. Taking into account fixed customer only, customer net adds were a record 14,000 in the quarter compared to 11,000 in the previous quarter. Virgin Telco has also had strong growth in mobile-only customers, which have grown by 5,000 in the quarter. Strong Virgin Telco performance compensates a weaker performance in the traditional business, primarily driven by a one-off bad debt cancellation effect due to the COVID government restrictions earlier in the year, and a slower-than-expected back-to-school campaign, which was delayed to late September, primarily due to the start of the Football Liga, by the COVID, with seasonal effects in Q3 and most likely also in Q4. Strong customer growth has also driven service take-up in the quarter. Broadband services take-up was a record 19,000 in the quarter, driven by Virgin Telco's customer growth and by broadband-only students customers in September. Strong 19,000 mobile services take-up with a high level of convergence in Euskaltel customer base. Flat or stable television services reflect the high growth of Virgin Telco's customers, which have a lower TV penetration, primarily because we allow them to have that the choice, and the growth of student customers in September, which are usually broadband only. The loss of 13,000 voice services in the quarter are the result of various factors, including the fact that 75% of the new Virgin Telco customers do not contract fixed voice services, once again, because we give them the freedom to do so, the growth of broadband-only student customers in September, and the loss of low-value voice-only customers. The ratio of services per subscriber reflects the strong growth of Virgin Telco mobile-only customer base at 9,000 in the quarter, and this provides an opportunity for future service take-up. Now, the B2B division continues strong performance in the quarter, with customer growing above 16,000, driven by strong service demand despite the COVID and seasonality effects. The B2B revenue grew by 3% year-on-year in the quarter to 27.3 million, the highest ever in B2B revenue in a third quarter. Strong demand of the B2B telecommunication services resulting from continued teleworking and Euskaltel's strong customer engagement and customer care are driving the B2B division towards strong results in the year. Let me now pass on to Ángel, our CFO, who will walk through some of the financial results of the company in the quarter.
Thank you, José Miguel. Revenue growth has taken off in the queue to 1.3% year-on-year. The company's highest revenue growth in recent years has been driven by Virgin Telco's strong customer growth that just in 4 months after its launch has changed the revenue growth profile of the company. Virgin Telco revenue grew 3 million in the queue, a very strong growth which is in line with that of customers. This growth will continue to accelerate in the next quarters. Traditional business of the company has also experienced positive 0.1% year-on-year revenue growth, driven by stable customer ARPU in the mass market segment at around 60 euros per month, and the strong performance of the B2B business with a 3% year-on-year revenue growth in the quarter. Strong cost control maintains the positive cost reduction trend in the quarter, despite the effect of Virgin Telco's launch cost. Gross margin has been affected in the quarter by two one-off COVID effects. Approximately 1 million euros of Asturias bar and restaurants football rights costs were shifted from the second quarter to the third quarter due to the change in calendar of the Spanish Football League. The increase in low-margin handset sales in the quarter after almost no handset sales in the previous quarter. SG&A costs were down 0.4% quarter-on-quarter, a positive trend despite the impact of Virgin Telco launch cost. Not taking into account Virgin Telco costs, year-on-year SG&A costs reduction would have been 10.4%, a clear sign of the continued implementation of efficiencies in the traditional business. SG&A costs were impacted by 2.8 million of Virgin Telco marketing costs, already in a downward trend after the 3.8 million launch campaign in the previous Q. Total SG&A costs are well below the more than 43 million quarterly levels reached in 2019. Traditional business EBITDA has continued to grow in the quarter by 1.1 year-on-year, due to stable revenue and the continued implementation of cost efficiencies. Taking into account Virgin Telco impact, total EBITDA growth was 2% minus year-on-year in the Q. Virgin Telco EBITDA was minus 2.6 million in the Q, experiencing a significant reduction versus the 3.8 million in the previous quarter, reflecting the less spent in the marketing campaigns and after the launch campaign carried out in the second Q of 2020. Faster than expected Virgin Telco growth has driven CapEx in the Q. In the traditional business, CapEx reached 38.1 million, back to normal levels after the positive one-off CapEx effect driven by COVID in the previous Q. Virgin Telco CapEx reached 9.6 million in the Q, driven by the 7.9 million subscriber acquisition CapEx resulting from the almost 30,000 new fixed and mobile-only customers in the queue. Virgin Telco also generated 1.7 million of non-SAC CapEx in the queue, mainly driven by network and IT activities derived from the launch of the new brand. Operating cash flow generation reached 37.3 million in the queue, meaning 25% of revenue. Cash flow generation was impacted by the strong growth of Virgin Telco in the queue. Not taking that into account, traditional business cash flow generation would have been 49.7 million, above 29% of revenue, in line with previous quarters. Continued cash flow generation allows the company to follow a clear deleverage path. In the first 9 months of the year, the company has reduced its net debt by 18 million. This deleverage has occurred despite the 55 million dividend paid in the period, represented a 100% of full-year dividend, and despite the stronger-than-expected growth in Virgin Telco. Net debt stood at 1,468 million at the end of the Q, which represents 4.16 times EBITDA, down from 4.21 times at the end of 2019. With continued strong cash flow generation, a low cost of debt at 2.6%, and an average maturity of 3.9 years, the company ends the third quarter in a very solid financial position. Strong third quarter results leave the company in very much in line to reach full-year guidance. In terms of fixed customers, a stronger than expected Virgin Telco customer growth results in the company being only 5,000 customers away from the low end of its 700,000 to 730,000 fixed customers guidance for the year. In terms of revenue, the company has reached 518 million euros in the first 9 months of the year, driven in the third quarter by a very strong 2% year-on-year growth. This leaves the company 182 million away reaching the low end of its 700 to 710 million full-year revenue guidance. EBITDA has reached 260 million in the first 9 months of the year, driven by the strong delivery of efficiencies in the traditional business. This leaves the company 80 million away from its 340 to 350 million full-year EBITDA guidance. Operating cash flow generation reached 137 million in the first 9 months of the year, driven by strong EBITDA growth and CapEx control. This leaves the company $33 million away from the low end of its full year $170 million-$180 million cash flow generation target. Let me now give back the word to José Miguel for him to wrap up the presentation.
Thank you very much, Ángel. And as I said, yes, we are glad and excited to present a strong set of third quarter results. Virgin Telco success has been the main driver of strong third quarter results, as we've already outlined. Stronger than expected Virgin Telco customer growth has driven another customer growth record with 20,000 new customers in the quarter. New sales and network initiatives at the agreement signed with Netflix assure that the profitability growth will not only stay but accelerate in the coming quarters. Strong Virgin Telco customer growth has also driven revenue growth in the quarter at 2% year-on-year, the strongest in recent years. Traditional business continues also to deliver revenue growth driven by a stable ARPU and by strong performance of its B2B division. Continued EBITDA growth in the traditional business has driven sustained EBITDA performance in the quarter. The company continues to be a clear deleverage in a deleverage path, as it has reduced its net debt by $18 million in the first 9 months of the year, despite strong Virgin Telco growth. This set of results, as Ángel has mentioned, provides confidence on our full-year guidance. Thank you very much for your attention, and we are open for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from Yan Bai from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I just have two, please. Could you give me more color on the competition in the traditional areas this quarter and the trends going into Q4? Should we expect flattish net adds for the full year in these regions? And then secondly, on the cost efficiencies, which I understand can be lumpy, I was wondering how much you have achieved so far in relation to the $40 million per annum target, and if you're still confident to achieve that for the full year. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your question. Well, as we all know, Euskaltel has what some of the most competitive regions traditionally in the whole of Spain. Basque Country, Galicia, and Asturias are by far the most competitive because these are the where basically all competitors have been at. We obviously launched nationwide, but it's a very competitive area. And so far, as you've seen over the last few quarters, we've had, we've kept our level. Not only that, but we actually managed to grow our customers. And we are confident that, what we're doing in Virgin Telco, for example, which is already beginning to give us a lot of additional services in our traditional. As I mentioned, the Netflix fan offer will be launched in the coming weeks in our the traditional brands. It makes sense. We obviously launch it firstly Virgin because our systems are a lot more efficient in order to launch Virgin, but it takes a couple more weeks to launch it in the traditional brands as we're launching free brands. So, well, we're confident we can continue to keep good competitive in our environment, despite the fact that we do have some of the most competitive environments in the whole of Spain. That's something that we've learned to live with. That's a fact. And I guess getting back to the flatness of the net adds, seen a little bit the effect, the COVID effect, primarily, with the debt debts that were accumulated during the Q2 as a consequence of the government restrictions on debt cancellations. We're managing day by day, almost hour by hour, all the COVID effects as we mentioned in previous quarters. And as soon as we've been able to cancel some of those debt debts, we've decided to do that because, we're very much focused on operations and efficiency, and that's something that for us is very important. And so we continue to be as competitive as ever. We continue to deliver gross adds, in our traditional areas as strong as ever, probably even stronger with the latest launches that we've done. And obviously, we keep a very close eye on the net adds. To make sure that we keep all the COVID effects under control, and so far we've managed to do that, and that I guess is hopefully gives you a little bit more light as to what we're doing. I think the emphasis for us is on, you know, to focus on gross adds. We continue to see positive gross adds in our traditional regions, and of course we also monitor, you know, we monitor churns and the effects of COVID to make sure that, you know, we optimize our net adds in the traditional region. And I think so far we're pleased to see that we keep our competitiveness in our markets, you know, despite the competition. That's where we focus. In terms of cost efficiency, I think, as Angel has mentioned, and we've given you out there, he can probably comment a little bit, just for me to comment. We've obviously done tremendous effort over the last 12 months in terms of capturing synergies and capturing cost efficiencies. We still have a lot to go, because as you would expect, things like network integration, systems integration, even some of the SAC costs on channel creation, particularly the non-face-to-face channels, we still have a long way to go before reaching that optimum sort of level of efficiency. So we're still working on a daily basis on all those areas, and we will continue to see some further efficiencies. Obviously, some of the more, faster to, you know, synergies to extract have been done as part of our last 12 months roadmap, but we still have some very important synergies and efficiencies to come, particularly out of network, out of systems, as well as sales channels. So, you know, these areas are obviously going to continue to deliver. Angel, do you have any further comments?
Well, yeah, I mean, we are very much in line with what we have announced of having 90 million euros EBITDA per quarter in our traditional areas, and we are very much in line with that. If you remember, in Q2 we announced 91.8, let's say 92 million, whilst in this Q we are in 88 million. So if you look at that, you see that there's a couple of things that have moved from one Q to the other. So in the average, we will be in the 90 million per Q in our traditional areas, you know? So, and as was Jose Miguel was saying, we have implemented a lot of synergies. The things and the results, you can see them in these results, but there is still some things to go, and as Jose Miguel was saying, there's specific plans with specific actions in each of these items that will deliver some additional cost savings and efficiencies.
Okay, that's been very helpful. Thanks, Jose Miguel and Angel.
Thank you. The next question comes from Fernando Cordero from Banco Santander. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, perfect.
Hi, Fernando.
Hi. Three questions from my side. The first one is related with some press reports that have made public that the company could be analyzing again the potential disposal of its cable network. And in that sense, I would like to understand the rationale of such a deal and what type of conditions should have the project in order to monetize the cable network to be materialized, which are the prerequisites that the management you are looking to this project. And the two other questions are related with the big Interco project. The first one, it seems looking to the third quarter CAPEX that the SAC for converging clients is around 340-350 euros per customer. In that sense, I would like to know which levers of further optimization of the SAC do you have? And the second question related with big Interco is when do you see the EBITDA break-even, given the performance of the EBITDA of Virgin in the last two quarters since the launch of the project? When do you foresee the EBITDA break-even and the positive contribution from the national wind expansion? Thank you.
Okay, Fernando, thank you for your questions. I'll just start with the first one because it's the easiest one, and then maybe I'll get Alfonso and Angel to answer the second and third. The first one is obviously, as I mentioned in my presentation, Euskaltel is always analyzing every single option that's available to us in the market in order to create value. for shareholders. So that's something we're going to continue to do. And obviously, within those options, we mentioned some network agreements. We've mentioned some, you know, sales agreements with Netflix, etc. And we continue to look at those options. And of course, we look at options to leverage our assets and to see how that leverage on the assets can actually, you know, provide additional shareholder value creation. But, you know, at this stage, there's no decisions on any of those. We look at, you know, all the different options that are available. So there are some interesting options, by the way, that we are looking at. But, you know, we haven't made any decisions. And as you would appreciate, Fernando, it's not the right forum, or I'm not in the right position to be able to disclose any further details on some of the projects that we're looking at for obvious reasons. But, you know, obviously, you know, there are some interesting options that we would look at and we've been looking at for some time, and we will continue to look at. And the board that, you know, will decide in due course. In terms of the CapEx, I think Alfonso will comment on that. Alfonso, if you can comment, or Alfonso or Angel, whichever. Or Virgin.
Yeah. Alfonso, want to comment?
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. So regarding CapEx of Virgin Telco, of course, we have several initiatives going, you know, in place. For example, the auto provisioning, the self provisioning of Virgin Telco customers that at the moment is on trial mode, but that will allow us to save on the technicians we have to send to the house of customers to connect them, and that's. That's an important part of that a bit more than 300 euros of SAC on Virgin Telco you mentioned. And additionally, we are working on different and adding distribution channels and go-to-market agreements. So you saw this quote, the agreement we signed with Netflix that will allow us to make efficiencies on some of the commercial fees. And there is more channels coming down the line and more agreements coming down the line of this type. So, and of course, through this agreement and also through a bigger scale that we are achieving in Virgin Telco sales, we will be able to keep that subscriber acquisition cost, you know, and reduce it in the long term.
Yeah, sorry, Fernando. I wanted to give you that light, but it's true what Alfonso is saying. Obviously, we've done a lot of work on digitalization of our go to market with the onboarding process, which is already giving us a very, you know, very efficient profile on Virgin Telco. We have a lot more to do in terms of sales channels. This week, last week, in fact, a new member came onto our team, Francisco Trujillo, who was also part of the Jazztel team, and we are working on some of the efficiencies of the outbound channels in particularly the Virgin area. But we are developing agreements like Alfonso mentioned. We mentioned Netflix, but there are some important agreements that we've come up. Some of them we can't actually comment on this slide that will undoubtedly, that are already producing very interesting SAC, very interesting customer economic profiles. And there'll be a few more announcements being made probably during the Q4 in that respect. So keep close to that. Right. In terms of the EBITDA break-even expectations, I think before maybe Angel jumps in, obviously, you know, we are ahead of expectations in our growth. So we'll have to take that into consideration because obviously that's something that and two things. One, we're ahead of expectation in growth, but we are also ahead of expectation in customer value, right? In lifetime value. So those two elements are quite interesting in terms of the Virgin Telco business plan, because undoubtedly I think will provide accelerated value. If you, Alfonso or Angel, want to add to that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we have clearly stated where we have the break-even in our internal business plan. We still have some quarters to go to get there. But as Jose Miguel was saying, the fact that that we are ahead of our expectations, both in terms of profitability and also in terms of the total number of clients, it will reduce that period. No, so I would say that we should see something during the next year. No, but we still need to see how we finish the year. We'll adjust accordingly our internal business plan. But a couple of quarters or three or four, let's say, still to go.
Fair enough. Many thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Bruno Cutting from Pigeon. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah, I was just wondering if you could give me an update. Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
Bruno.
I was just wondering if you could just give us an indication of your leverage targets going forward, because I just noticed they sort of have moved around a bit over the last quarter.
Yeah. Well, yep. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we are clearly in a deleveraging path, and our plan is to go deeper in that, and of course be below four and be closer to three times as possible. No, and of course this will depend on of some of the things that we have already commented. No, around in first place EBITDA, and also how we progress on our customer base in terms of Virgin, no? And if the faster we grow, the closer we'll have this break-even that Fernando was asking in the previous question. And, of course, the more quickly that we will get to where we want to be in terms of the leverage, no? But we are clearly going in that direction.
Mm-hmm. And the clear levers for that is to continue to focus on cost efficiency, to continue to focus on, you know, on profitable growth, not only in Virgin Telco but also in the traditional areas, and this is what's demonstrated over the last, you know, over more than a year now, over the last 6 quarters, that's the formula. It's hard working in terms of delivering efficiencies and hard working in terms of delivering profitable growth, and that's what we're focused. You know, our plan, our model, our business plan is all about, you know, working on those levers and making sure that they are, you know, that they're running as efficient as possible. That's what our plan is all about. It's working very closely to those targets and to those metrics that gives us that, you know, that continuous improvement on the leverage, as you've seen. So I think you've seen that, you know, the leverage it's been continuous over the last now over a year.
Okay, thank you. And just two follow-ups from that then. I was just wondering, as you said, you've almost hit your Virgin targets. I was just wondering sort of what, you know, sort of on reflection of performance so far, what the updated four-year targets were in terms of customer adds for that brand. And then I was also wondering if you kind of knew, you know, which other operator you were kind of taking these customers from, if you had any sort of idea who that might be.
Well, we don't focus on who we take it from. I mean, you know, for us, you know, we've presented a very different, you know, proposition in the market. It's a proposition that's been, as you've seen in the numbers, and we're happy. We always said that position, you know, would be a success in Spain, which is, you know, where we're in a position where customers can choose freely. You know, the services they want, without any sort of strange clauses or conditioning in terms of promotion prices, and that's something that the customer is very happy with. He's selecting that. So we're getting customers that are coming from the high end in terms of bridges. You see that on the 600, you know, megabytes of fixed, as well as the television uptake pickup. As well as the fully convergence, but we're also getting, you know, mobile-only customers and even some, old age type families that want to simplify the services, want to simplify their relationship with the telco. So we're getting a very wide spread of customers, which is for us is great, under one single brand, which is Virgin Telco, and that's proving to be the way to go. And of course, then the other, that's one dimension of our customer base. The other dimension is that this is what we keep focus on keeping, growing our footprint, because obviously 20 million footprint is great, but we want to make sure that footprint is as efficient as possible, to make sure we are as profitable we grow, and that's why we keep on doing agreements like with the Atomo and the Orange agreements, to improve further our customer economics. So our sales channels are very targeted. So, we obviously going to focus where our sales, where our economics, our customers' economics is most efficient, because as we've mentioned throughout since our business plan is, we want to reach those profitable target, profitable growth scenarios in our business case. And that means being very focused, being very focused where we grow. There is big differences between, different footprints in the market. So, obviously, our own footprint is the most cost effective, is the most profitable, and probably the regulated Telefónica call, is the least. So we want to, we focus our channels to make sure we get the optimal efficiency in terms of growth, and that I think is the way to go, to make sure we continue to deliver that profitability and that growth.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Massimo Mazzolini from Tikehau Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I just want to check whether I'm misreading any of your KPIs. So if I look at your at the table in the appendix, it looks like over the quarter the number of mobile subscribers grew by 5.1. and the number of fixed service subscribers grew by 14.4K, and that this was largely driven by your Virgin telco net add of 29.4K. So does that imply that the historical perimeter of Euskaltel, not the historical, the traditional one, lost in between 9 and 10K? And if so, was the traditional side of business growth of 0.1% solely driven by the B2B?
A lot of stuff there. One thing, the 29 is total net adds from Virgin, right? So you need to compare the broadband, right? The broadband customers to get the number. And you're right. We did get, obviously Virgin growth compensate some of the, losses we got in the traditional business, not to the extent you mentioned, but lower. And that came is about, as I mentioned to you, we've not because of less, gross ads, but rather less net ads coming from, the backlog of cancellation of the bad debt that was accumulated in Q2, right? So that's one of the reasons. Also, because of some delays in the back to school campaigns that we had in September. So this is what we explained during the presentation. And the improvement on EBITDA is not only coming from that; it's also coming from B2B, but it's coming as well as from the strong performance on ARPU from our traditional business, which has obviously been very strong, and the services take up within the traditional business as well. So these are the main drivers of our revenue, as you would expect, because obviously they still are the main components in our revenue today. Obviously, Virgin Telco has begun to contribute very positively to our financial KPIs, but the majority of our benefits, particularly in revenue and EBITDA, is coming from our traditional business, as you would expect it to be, right? So that's just to clarify those two dynamics, if it's clear, Maximo.
Thank
Anything
you.
To add, Alfonso? Or? But I think that's correct, yeah. Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from Fernando Abril from Alantra Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my questions. Well, it will be only one. So it's with regard to EBITDA. After a strong year of in terms of cost cutting, EBITDA growth is slowing down now in Q3. I was wondering if you could please provide more details with regard to where new cost savings will come from. I think you've mentioned something, but I didn't get it. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Cost savings. I mean, we've done a lot of cost savings work over the last 12 months, ever since last September, we started on a journey to extract synergies as well as to increase efficiency. We've also had additional costs because in order to improve many processes, particularly during the integration process, you also have incremental costs, and we're adding costs as a consequence of the Virgin Telco launch. So, take that into consideration. Remember that EBITDA initiatives, you're getting not only the good cost savings in synergies extraction and efficiency processes, but also additional costs that we obviously incrementing in the business in order to launch Virgin Telco, right? So this is something always to take into consideration in order to really have complete value of all the synergies and all the, value extraction that we've done over cost savings and efficiency over the last 12 months. That's key. But we still have a lot more to do. Because as you would expect, we're still a long way before, having a fully integrated three networks into one. We're doing a lot of work on that. But, that's something that, you don't do overnight. It takes time. And we're doing that. We still have a lot of systems integration to be done. And we're still developing a lot of channels. Sales, go-to-market channels. And in those go-to-market channels, there's still efficiencies. We're increasing volumes. So when you're increasing volume of sales channels and points, you still have to go through an efficiency process in terms of sales process. So the more sales you go through, the more efficient you get. So there's still a lot of efficiencies, particularly in back office work, like customer care, network, systems, and also in the front part, which is in the channels. We still have to migrate some of our face-to-face channels towards non-face-to-face. We have to grow our online channels. We're growing that through the Netflix. We've introduced a number of new agreements. We're going to introduce new agreements in the coming weeks. Unfortunately, we can't comment on that, but they're going to be introducing more efficiency in the go-to-market space. So there's a lot of initiatives still to come in terms of these issues. And as I mentioned at the outset, we have to continue to do that because our business plan and our deleveraging of the company depends very much on two aspects. One is continue to find efficiency improvements and within the business, within the traditional business as well as in the new Virgin Telco business, as well as finding profitable growth opportunities in the business. And that includes, for example, making agreements on footprints that are going to give us a better cost profile for those customers. That's the reason why we signed the more 1.5 million coverage, because obviously that's improving our cost efficiencies in terms of our cost profile per customer. That's what we're doing. And so these are the levers that will allow us to continue to find EBITDA opportunities.
Well, a lot of possibilities. Just a quick follow up on integration cost and all the efforts that you've made over the last year. CapEx ex SAC is keeping at 10% year on year over sales. My question here is: is there room to improve it as well as OPEX, or should we expect this to be long term? Thank you.
CapEx ex SAC again is very much in the same sort of bag as OPEX, right? Because at the end of the day, when you are changing, for example, your systems, sometimes you have to invest CapEx in order to improve your costs. particularly in systems and networks, right? So we have, and same applies, for example, for customer care. If we're integrating systems, you would expect to, to invest in order to, before you actually extract, more cost savings out of those processes. And those are the ones that I mentioned to you take longer, right? It's not that we haven't defined it, but they take longer to implement. And so, they also deliver CapEx savings because, when you've got a more integrated network, you've got less maintenance CapEx, right? And this is obviously, one of the advantages of going through those integration processes, that not only do we want a more homogeneous sort of management, but we also want to extract synergies out of those integrations. And so, you're also going to get CapEx savings. And we've seen that over the last quarters, how we've also managed to get CapEx savings out of the integration process that we've carried out. So, again, ex-SAC, you're going to have also CapEx savings as you're going to have OpEx savings as you integrate the different processes, but you're also expected to also invest in some CapEx in order to achieve those synergies.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Soomit Datta from New Street Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi there. Two or three questions, please. One just on the Virgin customer base. I think you said the customer value was higher than you thought, or maybe the lifetime value was how you phrased it, higher than you thought. So is that just coming from a kind of expanded footprint and maybe better wholesale terms, or are the customers maybe coming in at higher ARPU, or is there some other element of profitability which is different to your expectations, or is it principally to do with these wholesale agreements you've signed incrementally? Secondly, just on the existing traditional business, just to clarify that point on the subscriber losses in Q3, should we look at that as one-off related to the kind of pronounced effects of COVID in the second quarter and assume that base will therefore be stable or growing slightly going forward? So is this just kind of essentially a kind of cleaning of the base? And then finally, just to go back to competition, please. I think there was a question earlier, but just to clarify, has anything kind of changed of note in the last kind of couple of months or so? I guess we've had, MásMóvil taken over. They were launching a new brand in the region. Have we seen anything different from them, or anything kind of different from the larger existing competitors? Thank you.
Right. In terms of the customer economics, and you pointed two of them. They're very, very straightforward. One is, the one that I guess, for us was ahead of expectation, not only customers, but also the fact that we're getting a lot more take up of the, high video, video sort of content. This is probably as a consequence to do with, with COVID as well. People obviously are valuing content a lot more in the past. We launched Virgin Telco, in the middle of the confinement on the 20th of May, which obviously was still under confinement. So I think that was a great decision, and it also made people aware that we had a good content offer. With Netflix now, it's exactly edited again. So we've been surprised by the take-up of content. We thought it was going to be good, but it's slightly better than we thought. Same thing applies for some of the broadband speeds, right? So 600 megs, again, we that sort of high speeds quality, we were probably expecting a little bit lower. So, having that, it's great because it means those customers, as well as the division customers, are customers that are coming, for a, quad play, convergent type. So the percentage of higher value customers in sales is higher than what we originally planned for in the business plan, right? So you're going to get, obviously, better sort of ARPU out of those customers that we expected. So that's the one that surprised us, right? That's the one that's been surprised. The other one, which is about network and just looking at those efficiencies, that's well in the pipeline. In other words, we know what we have to do. We have to be searching for opportunities that are going to give us, more efficient footprint. So if we've got 13 million, one plus 1.8 million, so 14, almost 15 million from Orange, that gives us a particular type of economics, right? When we sell, and so that's like our base case, if you want to say it, right? We know how much that gives us. What economics gives us that. If we close up Adamo, which may be, a very interesting proposition, so we know that that has a different economics. So, maybe we're also keen to, and that's extra because, we probably didn't budget for that. And so, again, if we close in stuff with other infrastructure operators, we close with Telefonica, the non-regulated. So that's giving us not necessarily, a lower cost, but it does give us a way to make, for example, our inbound campaigns more efficient. So we're not going to do outbound campaigning, but we are going to do inbound campaigning on those homes, which are going to improve our above the line campaigning. So, this is what we do. We measure on a daily basis, right? Where we're targeting, and we don't just go, full blast everywhere. This is not the approach that Juscalter has. We promise profitable growth, and that means, monitoring on a daily basis exactly where our channels are, targeting their customers. And if we've got a footprint that's more efficient, this footprint's more efficient than their other footprint, we have to focus our channels into that footprint. And that's, that's how we get that efficiency. And so, we have our base case, our business plan, and we're looking constantly how can we get more services take up on our customers as they're coming in. By the way, we're also ahead of ourselves in terms that we normally would go for customers and, land grab type approach on the right sort of, on the right sort of coverage. But, the other thing we've started to do even this month, start to develop, what we call cartera, what we call existing customers, taking up new services. And we've started a campaign with Virgin customers already, for example, on terminals. So, building those sort of, building those services as we've done in our traditional business and we continue to do so is going to be fundamental. Of course, the experience of having done that and the over 20 years experience in our traditional business, it allows us to be able to, to drive those efficiencies both in customer service take up as well as, network economics. There is a third point, which is the channels, as I mentioned already. Not all channels are as efficient, so we continue to work on, increasing the more efficient channels, right, in order to improve those, those customer economics as well. So these are the levers that actually gives us a better, better customer economics in Big Virgin. In terms of the COVID, this is a very important point that you mentioned in terms of the one-offs. We're very much about managing the COVID, the COVID situation. We don't speak about COVID anymore, but if you remember the last two quarters, quarter one, Q1 as well as Q2, because we had to report the COVID situation both in Q1 results as well as in Q2, we started our presentations, explaining how we were managing the COVID situation. If you think about Q3, we haven't even spoken about that. Why? Because the company is very focused. We manage COVID on a daily basis. So the effects from COVID, we're looking at them on a daily basis. We analyze them on a weekly basis, and we take action. And I think that's probably, something that hasn't come out in the discussions. That's why I really appreciate your question, and we probably should have had something like this on the presentation, because I think, Euskaltel and Virgin Telco is about management. Our business model is about managing for efficiency, managing for profitable growth. And that's what we do. So with the COVID, we had this one-off, or maybe, this is the main one-off that we had, which was obviously during the confinement period, we were not able to manage the bad debtors because obviously we were restricted, we were not allowed. And what we did, we knew exactly, how many they were, where they were, how was the, what was the extent of the, of those customer base, and we quickly managed that. And I think that's the good value that we get out of this. And similarly with the students, So, you know, students and some of the suspended services, we manage them on a daily basis. So we're going to know exactly when a student may not be able to, you know, might not be able to reconnect the service. You know, why? Because he's not going back to university. So it's those type of customers we want to manage quickly and make sure that, you know, our numbers are, you know, as clear as possible. And that's the sort of stuff that we're doing. We're likely to get some of these COVID effects also in Q4. And, you know, and what I guess we're commenting here is we're ready for them. We're managing them, you know, very, very rapidly on a weekly basis. And those effects we are mitigating with you know, with clear actions. And that's what we've been doing since, you know, since first of the year. And so far that's allowed us to, you know, to present, you know, these Q2 and Q3 results. And we're going to continue to do that. I think that's a very good message. That's why I think your question is valid. We're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to manage those effects that are coming out of the COVID effect and reporting them to, you know, to the, you know, to investors as transparent and as clear as possible. The third question, which was on competition, maybe I can go a little bit further. Yes, you're right. I mean, you know, we have got a very, you know, high competition. We always have had. We've got an additional brand as a consequence of the MásMóvil, you know, which, you know, again for us is just another operator in one of our territories. But you know, Spain has always been a very competitive, you know, market. I mean, Telefónica, you know, the COVID has also delayed the back to school campaign, and also the Liga has been delayed, so that is having effects on Q3. Because some effects, you know, are coming in late on the Q3, which will probably also affect Q4. So again, you know, that's the sort of effect coming from the competition, you know, the Liga and the football, as well as some of the additional sort of you know, back to school campaigning from other competitors. But you know, again, once if you analyze the seasonality on previous years, it just means that there's been alterations on the typical stationality from, you know, from competition, primarily driven by some of these COVID effects, primarily, you know, delaying things like the campaigns like the back to school and the Liga, which you need to take into consideration when you know, when we look at the different effects of COVID in our results. So these are, I guess, the main effects, but competition is still, you know, as strong as ever. We have an additional brand in the Basque territory, which you know, which we are managing just like we do with all the other brands that are in our territories, and I would not say that, you know, competition has varied significantly. I guess what I would say to you is that the COVID obviously you know, keeps us very much on our feet, you know, to make sure that, you know, we are following the different trends, different campaignings from the different competitions, which may vary compared to other years.
Hopefully okay,
gives you a little bit more insight.
Yeah, thank you. Very clear. Cheers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions in the conference call. I will now give back the floor to the company. Thank you.
Okay, well, very much. Thank you very much. As we said to you, we're very proud of our Q3 results because it means a lot of work from the Euskaltel team. And from here, I really want to appreciate all the effort that we're making, particularly on very tough circumstances, as you would know, with the COVID. You know, we've managed to present a very strong quarter three results that get us very close to our full year target. And we continue to work hard in order to achieve those targets and to continue to deliver value for shareholders. So thank you very much for your attention and look forward to speaking to you soon. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect your lines.